Good morning. It's Wednesday, November 28th, 11 minutes before the hour. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. A company hoping to sell billions of gallons of water from Blue Lake has three more years to make it work. True Alaska Bottling, or TAB, will write the city of Sitka a $1 million check in exchange for a three-year extension on exclusive rights to Blue Lake water. The deal was approved by the Sitka Assembly last night. TAB is hoping to sell the water in bulk to overseas clients, using tanker ships to transport it. If it succeeds in exporting water in the next 3 years, its $1 million deposit gets credited toward the purchase price of the water. If it fails, the city keeps the million. TAB is offering a penny per gallon, which could mean millions for Sitka if the company is successful. TAB has held the rights to Blue Lake's bulk water since 2006, It extended the deal three times so far in 2008, 2009, and 2010. This latest extension expands the water TAB would be allowed to take. Efforts have been unsuccessful for various reasons. Sitka currently lacks infrastructure to get the water from the lake to a ship in Silver Bay, and potential customers, although interested in purchasing the water, don't have a place to put it once it arrives. Sitka police could get tougher on trash under a measure advanced last night by the Assembly. City law right now says residents must wait until their designated trash pickup day before they put smelly garbage outside. But as KCAW's Ed Ronco explains, the days of a friendly warning for violators might soon be over.
If you read the city code books, you'll see it listed as putrescible waste. You know it as those dinner scraps from three nights ago, or that tub of who knows what that you finally removed from the fridge, or even dirty diapers. Bears call it dinner. Sitka's neighborhoods are like all-night buffets for bears, and have been for a long time.
In fact, by my accounting, more than 25 years.
Phil Mooney is the area wildlife biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
And the problem really hasn't been resolved, and it's a people issue more than a bear issue.
So the city wants to tighten the rules. Instead of a warning on the first offense, residents who toss out their smelly trash too early could get a $100 fine. Do it again, and it goes up to $300. Police have fielded 170 bear calls this year, and Mooney says some residents have established neighborhood watch groups.
And they're looking after one another. And these people are getting very frustrated. In fact, we fielded way more calls from residents who are saying, we've got 10 people in the neighborhood, 9 people are taking care of their garbage, the bear is coming in and hitting number 10 and hitting it repeatedly, and as a result of that, the bear is coming in and knocking over the other 9 cans.
Besides giving police the ability to get tougher sooner on garbage that can attract bears, the group also hopes some projects around town will help address the problem. The Indian River neighborhood is one of the busiest places in Sitka for bear activity. That's because it's right next to a salmon-heavy river and a dense forest. The neighborhood is managed by the Baranoff Island Housing Authority, or BIHA. The organization installed 5 350-gallon dumpsters to replace individual cans for the homes along Andrew Hope Street. And in other parts of the neighborhood, it added 350-gallon cans and secured them to the ground. BIHA staff unlatched the cans on the morning of pickup. Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt says it's made a difference.
Our calls went way down there this year, and I don't know if it's a direct result of the cans, but I believe it is.
Schmidt was peppered with questions from the Assembly, including how many tickets the department has written. He said about a dozen this year, but that he did not have the number right in front of him. Assemblymember Mike Reif wondered about homes and businesses downtown. Bears don't often come into Sitka's core, although it's not unheard of. But still, Reif wondered, what about people in dense neighborhoods without sheds to secure their trash cans, or commercial buildings that have cans outside?
We don't anticipate going around writing tickets for all those.
Right.
We've been reactive in nature. We get a call of a bear in a neighborhood. We see that he's been attracted by garbage. So that's when we're actively looking to do enforcement, education and enforcement.
Gotcha.
The changes to the trash ordinance will require another reading before the Assembly. They would go into effect 30 days after getting final approval. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
If you were hoping to hear the final word on Sitka's controversial dog ordinance, you're out of luck. The Assembly tabled the measure until it can get recommendations from the Police and Fire Commission and the Parks and Recreation Commission. The proposed measure would prohibit dogs from the new Muller Field ballpark and the relatively new Kimshim ball field complex. Critics say it unfairly targets responsible dog owners based on the actions of irresponsible people who don't clean up their pets' waste. Supporters say dog waste is a health hazard to the athletes who use the fields. There's no firm date for when the issue will come back before the assembly. Those interested in giving their input were encouraged to attend either commission meeting. Police and Fire next meets December 5th. The Parks and Rec Commission's next meeting isn't until December 13th. From a young age, kids learn how to stay safe. They memorize their phone numbers, learn about stranger danger, wear helmets when they ride their bikes. But some of the things they learn are more subtle, like to trust their intuition. Last week, we explored prevention programs in Sitka that aim to build resiliency in young kids through group activities. Today, we'll take a look at how lessons learned in childhood might help break the cycle of domestic violence.
Elena's going to talk to us about some different types of touches.
We are in a third grade classroom at Kikushihin Elementary School. Students are learning about the difference between good and bad touch, a lesson many of us might remember from growing up.
Who has an idea of what a safe touch might be? Anybody give me an example?
A little pat on the back?
Yeah, maybe a pat out of the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Elena Gustafson is a youth outreach coordinator at the local women's shelter, Sitkins Against Family Violence, or SAFE. She's teaching a class about personal safety.
Hugs, high fives, handshakes, pats on the back. How do all of these touches make us feel?
Good.
They make us feel good. Yeah, they make us feel safe. If you get a high five from somebody, maybe you might feel proud. So these typically make us feel really good.
Being a young child can be a confusing time, and life lessons can seem contradictory. Kids are taught to be polite and respect authority, but also not to talk to strangers. This class focuses on teaching kids to pay attention to how a touch or situation makes them feel.
And an uh-oh feeling is a feeling in your tummy that, you know, something just isn't right.
Diana Twaddle is a counselor at the elementary school. By having open discussions with kids, the hope is it'll give children the tools they need to deal with tough situations they may encounter.
You can always say no thank you to any touch because you are each the boss of your body. Have you guys?
Gustafson and Twaddle will visit every classroom at Keet to give a safety talk. They hope that by empowering kids to stand up for themselves, they're able to decrease violence in future generations. Children who experience trauma are not only much more likely to become the perpetrators or victims of violence, they're also more likely to develop a slew of other problems later in life.
Lung disease and heart disease and substance abuse issues and mental health problems, smoking, alcoholism, IV drug use, unwanted or teen pregnancy, STDs.
These ailments are a medical outcome of what most agree is a serious social epidemic. Alaska has one of the highest domestic violence rates in the nation. Nearly half of Alaska's women have experienced intimate partner violence in their lifetime. That puts the state third behind Oklahoma and Nevada, but well above the national average of about 36%. While teaching children about boundaries is a critical step in addressing domestic violence, so is enforcing those boundaries later in life.
If we can get kids out of those households and get their parents to feel like they safely can get out of those households, then we are hopefully ending the problem in the future.
Christine McLeod-Pate is an attorney. She works for the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, a coalition of 18 programs that help abuse victims across the state. The coalition has been running a pro bono program for shelters in Alaska for the last 15 years. But not everyone who needs legal support can get it. Pate says nearly 200 people apply for legal representation, and the network is only able to provide services to about half of them. That leaves 100 people who have to represent themselves in court.
I think there's something wrong with a system where you can go to court, you know, facing severe safety concerns or facing the potential loss of access to your child and not have a right to an attorney if you can't afford one.
She says that even if someone isn't directly affected by domestic violence, everyone pays a steep price. children who grow up in violent homes often require more help and resources, like special education in schools, extra police protection, and more use of the court system.
This is something that really, if it's not emotionally affecting you, it's certainly affecting everybody's pocketbook.
Alaska's governor has made domestic violence a top law enforcement priority, and intervention and education are on the rise in the state. But those delivering the services wonder if it's enough. Gustafson and Twaddle give a personal safety lesson to each class only once a year at the elementary school, and only half of domestic violence victims in Alaska who seek free legal help can actually get it. Follow-up studies in rural communities like Sitka may eventually show that early intervention programs work to reduce the rate of domestic violence. But for now, it remains a matter of teaching and hoping.
I love what you added to that, asking if you can give somebody a handshake, or asking somebody if you can give them a hug, right? Asking helps make it a safe touch, because then somebody always has the option to say, no, thank you.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Anne Bryce.
That's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. Quick check with the weather picture for Sitka and Port Alexander today. Rain this morning and then a chance of rain in the afternoon. Highs today predicted to be around 46, currently 45 degrees right now in Sitka. East winds 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts to around 35 miles an hour later today. Tonight, rain likely with a chance of snow, lows around 33. And Thursday, rain in the morning mixing with snow, chance of rain by tomorrow afternoon. Snow accumulation tomorrow up to about an inch for Sitka and Port Alexander, with highs around 36 degrees and those east winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Thanks for being with us this morning. Hope you have a great day. You're listening to KCAW, Sitka.
Alaska Department of Fish and Game.